question was asked, sometimes when a person is starting out in their studies, so then they approach certain mitzvot that seem very far-fetched, especially certain rabbinic institutions that you look at and you say, why does that make sense? And our first rule, at least in my class, is ask. You have to ask. It's important to ask. It's important to be intellectually honest. It's important to say when we don't understand. It doesn't mean we have to be disrespectful, but we should ask. Torah is about asking questions. When we have the night where we tell our kid, this is what Judaism is all about, the night of Pesach, what do we expect them to do? Ask. It's a mitzvah of the night. Have the kid ask questions. So we're about asking questions. So one of the questions that was asked tonight is the mitzvah of Eruv. How does that work? Why do strings make any difference in whether you could carry in a city? So we're going to address it on an elementary level that I hope will be palatable for a person when he's starting out and seeing an Eruv. When we study more, we'll understand it on a different level. But for now, for starters, let's get a basic picture of what's going on. We know that in our own home, we're allowed to carry things. In my house, I'm allowed to carry anything I want. I'm allowed to take to eat. I'm allowed to carry a book I'm going to read, right? I'm not going to carry items I'm not supposed to use on Shabbos. I'm not supposed to carry around my cell phone. I'm not supposed to carry around a lighter or a cigarette. But, I don't know if you should carry that anything. But I can carry things normally in my home. My front yard, my domain, if I have the front yard that's enclosed, I'm okay. So the Torah tells me in private domain, I'm allowed to carry things. I'm allowed to, we do it all day, right? You carry your benches. We carry things in the house. We don't think twice on Shabbat. Torah says in public domain, there's no carrying. That means this is one of the more difficult tasks for generations. Jews have had difficulty wrapping their heads around it. Until you study a lot of tractate Shabbos, it's a little bit difficult to understand why. But the Torah says, if you carried a pencil, a toothpick, you carried it 4 footsteps in public domain, that's a biblical prohibition. So we have public domain where I'm not supposed to carry things. I'm allowed to wear my clothing. I can wear a hat, I can wear a jacket, I can wear glasses, right? I could wear clothing. But that's because I'm wearing them. That's not called carrying them. But if I were to take my jacket off and carry it draped over my hand, now I'm carrying the jacket. I'm not wearing the jacket. That is prohibited in public domain, a biblical prohibition. I'm not allowed to carry 4 footsteps. You're not even allowed to carry chewing gum in your mouth. You have a filling in your tooth, that's fine. But if you're going to go to Brooklyn or Midtown Manhattan and you're in the house and you have some cake left in your mouth, swallow it before you walk outside. So that's called carrying. And that's the way you carry chewing gum in your mouth, right? Most people don't. Kids walk around chewing gum in their hands, yeah. It's interesting to see how my kids say, I can't eat from him. I can't eat from him until it's a good piece of chewing gum. Let me have a bite. You ever see kids do that? It's very interesting. But normally we don't carry chewing gum in our hand, right? We carry it in our mouth, so that's called carrying chewing gum. So in public domain, I'm not allowed to carry. I have public domain. I have private domain. Then I have domains which technically, biblically, are no man's land. I have domains which don't fall under the heading of public domain because the heading of public domain requires certain criteria. I need to have a main street that runs straight through the city. I need to have 600,000 people on an average day walking that street. I need to have it wide, 32 feet. I have certain criteria in order for it to fall under the heading of public domain. I need certain criteria. Most of our public domain today do not fall under that criterion. In Brooklyn, you have streets that are biblically public domain. In Manhattan, you have streets that are publicly public domain, biblically, but it's a rarity. In almost every city, in almost every town, for the last few millennium, we have not had public domains. The Romans used to build cities in a way that the central street had a marketplace and you could have 1 million people on that street. So there you had public domains. But for the last millennium and a half, it's been a rarity. So what is it? Technically, it is something that the rabbis forbade. The rabbi said, if you're going to walk around in that domain, if you're going to carry in that domain, you're going to get confused between that and public domain. You're not going to notice the difference between a main street here in Jerusalem or a main street in Manhattan. So the rabbi said, we want to make sure that you do something to show that it's private, it's not public domain. We want you to build walls around it. We want you to do something so that delineates, this is my boundary, this is my border. So the prohibition began with the rabbis. Technically, biblically, it's not prohibited. I can carry there. The rabbi said, I don't want you to carry there. So the rabbinic prohibition from the days of King Solomon, by the way, this was an institution of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo instituted this concept of Eruvin, and King Solomon said, if people can just carry around in the domains that are biblically not public yet, not private domain, no man's land, then people will very easily confuse things and end up carrying in public domain. So Shlomo said, in order, first let's understand, then ask questions. In order to allow people to carry, I want them to delineate it. Just like you delineate your home, you have walls for your home. Well, I want you also to delineate the area in which you say, this is our private domain. I'm going to carry in it like a private domain. So just like in order for it to be my private house, I need to have walls around it. If you're going to make an area that's called a karmelis, that's the Talmudic term for areas that are biblically not public domain, yet not private domain, that in-between zone. So then I want you to make walls around it. But the rabbi said, we're going to stick in a few leniencies. We have a biblical law that whenever you have a doorpost, you have two sticks and another stick over them, we don't look at that, even if the door hasn't been installed yet, we don't look at that as an open area. We say, you have two sticks and another stick over them, until you install the door, it's irrelevant. Could be it'll take you 100 years to install the door. From our end, that's called Tsurat HaPetach, the shape of an entranceway. And from our end, once you did that, it's as though you filled it. It's as though you put a door there. Ah, you didn't put a door there? Okay. So the rabbi said, we're going to extend that. Being that the whole prohibition begins rabbinically, so the rabbi said, if we're going to prohibit it, we're also going to make leniencies on how to make it permissible. And the rabbi said, it's enough to delineate the area of the city and make it walled in with fictitious walls. You don't have to make physical walls. Go build a wall around the whole city. It's going to be very tough. So the rabbi said, what we're going to let you do is, you're going to put one pole here, another pole there, and a string over them, or another pole over them, whatever you'd like. In ancient times, they didn't use string, they used poles. They used to make, so that's, we're going to look at that as the shape of a door, and then it's as though you've put a door there, it's as though you've filled it, and you've closed off that side of the city. So parts, the average city that has an eruv has some sides that are walls, and some sides or some gaps that you use. I used to be in charge of checking an eruv, and in the town I grew up in, they had snowstorms, and every so often, the gate that we built that surrounded the city, that was our Eruv, would get knocked down by the snow. So we would come out there in the middle of the snowstorm, and we'd put up the gate ran for miles around the city. But, I mean, just to drive around the Eruv took us an hour. And parts of the Eruv, we'd drive by at 55 miles an hour. I'm saying they were on highways. And yet, a lot of it was fenced. So we check it, and sometimes we'd find part of the fence was broken. So what do? You can't fix it on Friday. We'd put one pole on one side, another pole on the other side, and pull a string over them. And I've created an entrance now. I've created, so to speak, a halachic doorway. Technically, you'll tell me, are you going to put a door there? No, I'm going to rebuild the fence there. But being that the rabbis forbade it to begin with, it wasn't forbidden from the Torah, the rabbi said, we're also going to allow you to use this process which appears in Torah. Meaning this concept that creating a doorway, a tzurat ha-petach, constitutes as though you filled the wall, that appears in the laws of Sukkah, that appears in biblical mitzvot. The rabbi said, we're going to allow you to apply it in a broad sense in this rabbinic mitzvah. So here's what we do. You're in the army. You have to set up a base. You're in the middle of a desert. You're in the middle of a forest. And it's no man's land, right? It's not private or public domain. What do? We take a tree. Okay? And we saw a little bit into the tree. We put a string out from this tree onto this tree, right? And then, again, we saw in a little bit here, wrap it around it. Now the string goes over the tree here, right? It goes over these two poles. These two parts of the tree constitute
like two sides of doorposts. The string that goes over them is the top part of the doorpost. Now this is considered like I've created a wall here. You'll ask me, is there a wall there? No. We all know there isn't a wall there. But I've created a halachic wall. The rabbis who forbade it gave me the way to delineate my boundaries in a way that gives me leniency. I will add one more point. Remember that Eruv means to mix, to unite, to connect. To connect, sometimes there was a kid who was going in the beginning of the Holocaust, and when his mother was going to depart from him, she gave him a blanket. He said, "What's good is a blanket?" And his mother said, "This is a blanket that defines your domain. Whenever you'll be with other people, you spread out the blanket, everyone knows where's your territory. I'm not giving you the blanket to cover yourself with. It's a terrible blanket, you're right. I'm giving you the last blanket, the last thing I have to give you, because when you spread out that blanket, you've defined where is your territory. That's also a gift, the ability to define your territory. When we create an Erev, we're saying this community has something that delineates its boundaries. We've created, a boundary is sometimes painted on the floor, right? But it still defines it. This is my territory, this is your territory. When we create an Eruv, we're doing something which on one level defines it, but even on a halachic level, I'm saying, conceptually and halachically, we've defined the boundaries of the city. I hope